Welcome to Parents' Perspective. What's the matter? Myrna's friend Sally asked. You're looking pretty glum for someone who's expecting her husband home in a couple of days. You've been looking forward to his return from active duty for all this time, and now it's actually happening.
Yes, Myrna agreed. But the kids are acting pretty weird. They didn't want to decorate the house or bake a cake or anything. They don't seem excited at all.
Well, kids can be pretty strange sometimes, Sally concurred. But maybe something's troubling them. Did you talk to them?
I asked Penny what she wanted to do when Daddy comes home, but she just said that he probably wouldn't want to go to the mall with her, and then just changed the subject. And Dean was even worse. He just clammed up and went out in the yard with his soccer ball.
Maybe they're anxious about relating to him since he's been gone so long. After all, they're still in elementary school, and he's missed a big chunk of their lives, you know, Sally observed.
Oh, why do these happy occasions have to be so complicated? Moaned Myrna.
From a parent's perspective, how can a family best handle its troops returning home from active duty military service? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest deals with just these kinds of issues full-time. Dr. David S. Riggs is a clinical psychologist and the director of the Center for Deployment Psychology at the Uniformed Services University in the Washington, D.C. area. Much of his research and clinical work has focused on the impact of trauma and post-traumatic stress disorder on individuals and families. He also calls himself an Army brat, who grew up seeing firsthand the stress placed on military families by the deployment of service members, forced separations, and frequent relocation. Dr. Riggs is the father of an 8-year-old daughter. Welcome to Parents Perspective.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
What would you say is the biggest myth we have about a soldier's homecoming?
Probably that things are going to go right back to the way they were before the soldier left. Deployments these days range anywhere from 4 months to a year, and when we think about families, lots changes in a year. Lots can change in 3 or 4 months. So not only is the service member who's been deployed and has perhaps seen combat, not only are they going to change, but children and spouses, they change as well.
We have heard that one of the things that happens is the spouse ends up taking over a lot of roles he or she hadn't had originally, so that there's more of a sense of I'm in charge or I'm competent or maybe why weren't you here because I had to deal with this.
I think all that sort of stuff happens. It depends so much on how the family was structured beforehand and what the family does while the service member is overseas. Sometimes a spouse takes on a great deal of responsibility that they hadn't had before, or at least different responsibilities, things that the husband or the wife used to do, but they're not around to do it right now. Sometimes, again, depending on how they spend that time, they may go back and rely more on extended family. So in my own case, when my dad was overseas, we went and lived near my mom's parents, and they took on responsibilities for some of the child care. And then when dad came back, he has to think about, and the family needs to think about, how does he reintegrate himself as a parent into the family when other people have been taking that role. So it's not just the spouse that takes on other responsibilities, but other people in the family as well.
Are there ways to work on that while the family member is overseas?
Probably more so now than there used to be. One of the both good and bad things about the current situation is people have much more ready access to communication between the family who's here at home and the person who's in Iraq or Afghanistan or other places at this point. You know, back in my day, you wrote a letter and you waited 3 weeks until you got the letter that maybe responded to what you said or maybe crossed in the mail. And now there's email and telephone contact on a regular basis. So it does offer a lot more opportunity to kind of check out rules and changes in rules and so on and so forth. One of the family stories that we have is that when Dad went to Vietnam, he said, the kids will only be allowed 1 hour of television per night. And here's Mom left with, at that point, 4- and 6-year-old who has to set those limits. And she said very soon after Dad left, the limits went out the window. And it wasn't sure. realistic for her to do that. But he didn't find out about it, of course, until weeks or months later, or maybe when he came home. I don't know. Nowadays, with email communication and telephone calls, changing those rules could be checked out ahead of time, or at least the partner who's been deployed will know about the changes in the rules before they come home. And so those sorts of things may help to ease that transition back into being a full family when a person comes home.
Now, children who are old enough to send their own emails to the parent that's mm-hmm. away, should those emails be monitored?
Well, I'm not averse to monitoring my child's emails at all times.
Right.
So I think, yes, you need to pay attention to it. So much depends on where the child is in terms of his or her understanding of what's going on. So my daughter's 8 and knows a little bit about what's going on overseas right now. We have relatives who are in the military and have been deployed, and so she knows that they've gone to Iraq and she knows that there's a war going on. But that may not be the case for every 8-year-old. And so I think that parents in general need to monitor how much information those children have. What do they understand? What's frightening to them? Because a lot of times what you don't understand is more frightening than reality. Mm-hmm. And so I certainly think attending to what those emails are going back and forth is going to be helpful, not only in, I don't want to say protecting exactly, but helping the child to understand what's going on and to negotiate the stress of having a parent who's deployed, but probably also from the perspective of the service member who's overseas, there's an awful lot that they can't do anything about when they're there. And if they're getting messages from their 12-year-old about problems that are happening at home, it may be adding stress to their lives as well. And that's another reason to think about monitoring those kinds of emails.
That's what I was thinking about. I was thinking, how do we protect the person that's over there under enough stress already?
It absolutely is something that needs to be thought about. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that the service members say is that that's not the chief source of stress, obviously, but it's certainly a big source of stress for them, is hearing about issues that are going on the home front that they are worried about, they're concerned about, they care about those people, but they can't do anything about. And so they feel kind of helpless in that situation.
What's the most important thing families should remember when their active duty military troops return home?
That everything is probably going to take longer than you want it to.
Okay.
There is a sense when people come home that everything's going to be wonderful. That people have even described it as a honeymoon period, that things are going to go great. Everybody's going to slip right back into those roles that they've had all along, and adjustments will be done and over with in a day or a week. And sometimes it takes a bit longer. And there will be other demands placed on that service member as well. So the different services do it in different ways. They've all tried to allow returning service members room to adjust and reconnect with families and so on. But they will have to go back to work, and they'll have to go back and deal with putting the unit back together, so to speak, when they've returned. But then also in the current situation, preparing to go out again, because many units are being deployed for a second or third or even fourth time. So the stress associated with deployment doesn't necessarily end once the person's returned. I mean, obviously there's the stress that's involved in just reconnecting and reintegrating into the family, but there are also going to be military duties that are there as well. And I think the family needs to keep that in mind, because sometimes the family wants to say, but wait a second, we've been waiting for a year, it's our turn now. And it's not always possible for the service member to completely disconnect from their responsibilities in terms of the military and put the family completely 100% into their lives. As I said, the services are trying to give them some chances to do that, some time to reintegrate, but eventually they're going to go back to work. So,
what is their greatest concern, the service member's greatest concern on returning?
Oh, how many service members have come back? Because of, all have
Which
different
one?
Ones. One big one is, there's two parts to it. What have I missed? And what's my position back with the family now? So if we're talking about concerns about the family, it's how do I get myself back into the role that I had? So as a parent, how do I reconnect with my children? As a spouse, how do I reconnect with my husband or wife? Is our intimate life going to be the same as it was before I left? Those kinds of questions are going to be very prominent. With the repeated deployments that are going on, there are also concerns about, where does my future lie? Does my future lie in the military or not in the military? Am I willing to stay in the military if I'm going to be going back to Iraq multiple times and putting my family through the same kind of experience again and again? Those kinds of questions also come up as fairly prominent for service members when they return.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on troops returning home to their families.
Popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Dr. David Riggs about returning troops. How can a parent best prepare a child for his or her absent parent's return?
Again, I think it depends a lot on where that child is. You probably do very different things. Not probably. You would do very different things with a preschooler than you would with a teenager. I think one of the most important things is trying to meet the child where he or she is with information that's going to help them. So thinking about what are the needs of a three-year-old when a parent returns. This child may not even remember the parent, depending on how long that person's been out of the child's life. And so talking to the child about who this is that's going to show up. My brother is a couple years younger than I am. When Dad returned from Korea when he was three, didn't know Dad. Ran up to the other guy in uniform and said, hi, Dad. Now, this is heartbreaking to Dad, of course. It's like, you know, here's my son, and he's running up to the wrong person calling him Daddy. But it's very understandable from a child's perspective who probably has no real memory of what Mom or Dad's face looks like and sees somebody in uniform and knows that's the person, you know, uniform, that's Dad. So with very young children, I think that there's a lot that we can do in terms of just explaining Dad's been away, Mom's been away. We can all be very excited about his or her return, but also understand that that child's going to need some time to adjust and have a more difficult time separating from the parent who's been there to join with the parent who's been gone. So if Mom's been gone for a year and I've had to deal with Dad and other caregivers over the course of that time and Mom comes home, I may have a very difficult time as a very young child, even as an older child, reconnecting with Mom. But how we do that with a very young child is very different than what we would do with a 13 or 14-year-old who has a much better understanding of where Mom's been or where Dad's been, what they've been under, and may in fact be more concerned about, can I take care of this person who's coming back? I know they've been under a lot of stress. I know somebody's been shooting at them or they've been dealing with all the stresses of combat. Maybe my job is to take care of them. And that's a difficult position to be in as a 13 or 14-year-old, probably even a difficult position to be as a 43-year-old. Taking care of your parents is always hard. And so helping the child to understand that it's not necessary, that we can be concerned about this person who's coming back into our lives, but it's not their job to take care of that person. It's their job maybe to make life as easy as possible for a little bit, trying not to add to the stress level, but it's not their role to take on as to parent the parent, so to speak.
What about kids who are in from middle school through high school who resent that the parent has been away? What do you mean you miss this, you miss that? How could you do this to me?
Kids between middle school and high school are kind of designed to be angry, aren't they? That's part of their job in life. And one way to think about deployments is it's a really big stressor on everybody involved in the family. And so all the things that people do when they're under stress are going to be magnified. So it's very normal for a child to be angry and to be upset. The parent missed some very important milestone in their life, wasn't there to consult. This is the person I would normally go talk to, and they weren't here to talk about this. So I think, again, you can normalize that as the parent who's there also waiting for your spouse, and you've got all the nerves and so on that you've got in your head, to think about your children and say, it's fine to be angry about that. Let's not hit Dad with it as soon as he walks off the plane. But, you know, it's okay, and it's going to take a little while to adjust and figure out how you can forgive Dad or Mom for being absent when you wanted them to be there. But we'll work with you to help that to happen. And obviously, it's never ideal. It's never great to have a parent disappear for a year and not be there for these things. One thing people have suggested, I honestly don't know how well it works or doesn't work, is to have the children keep a scrapbook or a memory book of what they've experienced over the course of that time that the parent's been away so that they can sit down and share it with them once the parent's returned. So that if you've got a scrapbook of all the things that happened during this year, you can kind of go through it and talk to the parent who's come back and share with them. And I think it's a wonderful idea. As I said, I don't know how well it works. I'm sure in some families it's a great thing, and in other families it might create some more difficulties. But I think generally it's a good idea.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. I would think you could use that for somebody who's been away for other purposes, a long hospital stay
absolutely.
Or some other thing like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I mean, one thing to keep in mind is that deployments are stressful for a number of reasons, but we can really think about them in two sections. One is it's stressful because the person's away. And so a lot of the things that we do with families who've dealt with deployment is the same sort of stuff we would do with somebody who was separated for other reasons. You know, a job that just took you to the other coast for 3 weeks or something like that. And you may still have some of these issues in those cases. And then deployments are also difficult because for most of the people that are going on deployments now, they're in combat and they're dealing with a lot of very, very bad things that can create many, many difficulties beyond just the stress of being away from your family. And so when we think about deployed soldiers, we think about it in terms of both those components, that there's the stress of just being away from the normal routine, away from your family, away from that support system, and very dependent on the support system that's provided by their units and their military friends and buddies and so on. But we also think about it as stressful because of the trauma that they experience, and that's kind of a whole other category of things that can create problems for families.
Do you see any general cycle of behaviors for kids that we could expect when a parent returns?
It's hard to be truly general and talk about all kids, but again, if you approach it with the basic idea that this is a big stressor for them, all the things kids do when they're under stress are likely to show up. Particularly with young kids, you may see some regression. So kids who were potty trained may not be anymore, and you have to deal with that. You may see a child who's given up sucking on his thumb or using a pacifier suddenly wants that sense of security back again. And that happens not only upon separation, but can happen when somebody returns. I think families are often prepared that on separation we might see this with their children. But because families, typically parents, are so excited about the prospect of we're getting back together again, they think this is a very positive thing, they forget that even positive things can be stressful. And so children may respond to that as they do other stressors. So with little kids, you may see that kind of regression. With teenagers and adolescents, you may see that anger coming out in other ways, not only directed at the parent who's returning, but they're more sullen. They withdraw from the family. And these are things that teenagers often do, and we would typically think of it as, oh, okay, what's going on with Bobby at this point, and maybe he's upset about something, and we talk. But because the parents are so joyous about the reunification, it's like, well, why isn't he happy too? And the story you shared at the beginning was along those lines. You know, here's a mom who's very excited about her husband coming back, and the kids are not very excited about it, and even perhaps a little upset about it, because now the routine that I've gotten used to is going to change again. And I think parents need to be prepared for that. So there's not one general thing, but I think a variety of things that all represent life's changing again, and what am I supposed to do about this?
Is there that fear that, I mean, when you talk about regression, the fear that this person who's coming home is going to leave again? I can't expect this person to be my rock and stick around.
I think a lot of kids would have a hard time describing it that way. I'm not sure that in my own mind that's the way it works. I think it's more about another unknown. So I prepare for dad, we'll use dad because most of them are dads at this point. I'm prepared for dad leaving. Dad's gone for a year. The family adjusts and develops a new routine, and I kind of know what it's like to deal with mom around the issues that are bothering me, or how do I get permission from mom to stay out late past curfew, or whatever it is. I've kind of figured out how to negotiate all that stuff. Now dad's coming back. What does that mean about the system? The system's obviously going to change. We're bringing in a piece back into it, but I, as the child, may not understand exactly how that's going to happen. And so I don't think of it so much that they're worried about parents leaving again, although some children may be. I think the more general feeling would be one of, I got to figure this out again. The rules might change, the rules might not change, but the system certainly changes. And it's trying to understand that and negotiate that that I think is the issue.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on troops returning to their families.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Dr. David Riggs about returning troops.
What kinds of activities or interactions should parents try to program into their family during the early stages of a recently returned parent's life at home?
I think the things that have brought the family together previously can be used again to bring the family together. So things that families have shared for us growing up, for my brother and I, a really important time was story time. Preparing for bed, our parents would read to us. And it was really important to get dad to play that role again. So mom had been there for the last year, and it was important to bring dad into it. Now, it's interesting. He didn't just kind of come in and she left. There was a period of time when it was all four of us. So there was an adjustment phase where we weren't quite ready to let mom go out yet, but we wanted dad to be part of that process as well. So I think when there's something that the family has been able to share, to think about how to bring that person back into that gently is an important thing. And then I think it's really important for some one-on-one time between that parent who's returning and each of the children in the family, and probably the spouse too. But, and that almost goes without saying. But the point is that each of those children has developed over that period of time and evolved and changed and had experiences that they want to share. And if you try and do that all as one big giant family, it's not always going to work real smoothly. So having some one-on-one time with that parent, I think, can be really valuable.
Are there things that should be avoided?
No romantic vacations during the first month. Like, don't plan to take the other parent away and kind of go away, just the two of you, when the kids are also trying to adjust to this reconnection with parents. And I say that jokingly. I don't know what the limit is. It may be sometime during the first month it's perfectly fine to go away for a weekend. But I do think you need to recognize that although the parents really want to have that romantic and intimate reconnection that they're looking forward to, that can sometimes have kids feeling left out. Again, to share a personal anecdote, when Dad was in Vietnam, he got his R&R leave, rest and relaxation or something like that, and planned to go to Hawaii, and Mom flew out to meet him, and they didn't invite us along. Mm-hmm. Perfectly understandable to me as an adult now why that might be, but we were angry. And we were angry not only that she was going to get to see Dad and we weren't, but she was going to get to go to Hawaii and we weren't. And so while that is necessary for couples, I mean, you need to have that time alone and that time to reconnect as a couple as well. Recognize that the children are there too, and the children will see that not necessarily as the wonderful positive, you know, staying with grandma and grandpa, we've done that before. You guys are growing up, we want Mom back or we want Dad back. And mm-hmm. I think it's important to keep that in mind. It's hard to say this because the military is so willing to cause large changes in their families' lives. Trying not to make big changes right after somebody comes back is probably a good idea. Although people may get reassigned and reassigned to different bases and then they're going to have to go through all the stress of a move, it'd be nice if they didn't have to. So if you can possibly manage not to put that on yourself, that would be a good idea. So if you know that somebody's coming back, they're going to be stationed where they are, don't plan on selling the house this week. Maybe wait a little bit until they've been back and can help out with that.
So yeah, especially you need someone else to help clean out the basement.
So. At least. But so no big changes, if at all possible. Obviously, that's not always possible. There are going to be times when big changes have to happen right after a deployment. But if you can avoid that, I think that would be a good idea.
Now, for most service members returning, there's extended family. You've mentioned right. grandparents a few times. In many yes. cases, those grandparents have really been involved. But they're brothers and aunts and uncles and cousins and so forth. And those situations need to be handled. How can they be handled most comfortably, most fairly?
Well, I'm glad you put it most fairly, because it's never going to seem fair to everybody. Obviously, parents of people who've been deployed want to see their children and welcome them back and give them the hugs and hold on to them and so they don't leave again and so on, just as much as spouses and children do. I think there are a couple of ways to approach it, and it probably depends a lot on how the extended family has understood the deployment and what role they've played in it. I come from an Army family, so both my grandfathers were career Army officers, as were two uncles. Yeah. And anyway, so it extends out. So they were very understanding of what that was like. And when each of my uncles and my father came back from their service in combat, people did different things. But what we tried to do for the family was kind of an event. Now, event not like, oh, we're going to have a great celebration, we're going to have the whole town here, but rather it allowed the family to kind of get together and say, welcome home, good to see you again. Now, go with your immediate family and deal with what you have to do with them. So it gave everybody a chance to see the person home and welcome them back without making, well, with one exception, without making a big deal about it. My dad came home from Vietnam the end of June 1970, and so 4th of July was coming up. So there were all kinds of issues around that. But that was our family's approach to it. I don't know that would work for every family. And as I say, when, you know, during one of Dad's deployments, we actually were staying with my mom's parents, and they had a different role. They were very much part of our caretaking. They provided care for us when Mom couldn't. So when he got back in that case, there was a different transition, and it was a much quieter transition. And that one was a little bit difficult because they had to pull themselves out of that role. That is, my grandparents had to pull out of that role and be in a different role. And so all those transitions are obviously going to be difficult to negotiate. I don't have a nice, easy answer for how families are going to do that. I think that as a psychologist, one of the things I often hear myself saying and wish I could come up with a different way of saying it, is communication's important. And if you can keep those lines of communication open, not only within the nuclear family, not only the parent who's deployed and the parent who's here with their children, but also with the extended family, I think you stand a pretty good chance of negotiating that return home relatively smoothly. There will still be hurt feelings. Somebody will feel like, I didn't have enough time with my son or my brother or my cousin or whoever it is that's coming home, and that's going to be difficult.
Well, this is a conversation, obviously, that could go on a lot longer. Absolutely. But before we leave, what resources would you suggest to our listeners who want to pursue some of these issues further?
Each of the military services has their own website, as well as a website called Military One Source, which tries to gather together as much information as they've been able to on these sorts of things. Each of the services also has something along the lines of what the Army calls the Family Advocacy Program, which is mostly seen as a negative. That's unfortunately where people end up when they've been reported for family violence. But there are resources there that can also offer support for these transition points. And so we want to encourage people to at least look into what the resources are on their bases and through their services. Beyond that, if you type in to Google military deployment children, you will find a whole litany of resources that are out there that try and speak to some of these things. The problem that I have coming up with a single one is I haven't seen one that I just think, oh, that's the most outstanding one I've seen. So it's hard to point to one and say they have all the answers. So I would encourage people to go out and do a little bit of research and see what they can find. Ask questions of friends who've been through this, of family members who've been through this, and see what they can get there as well.
Well, this has been a wonderful insight into a lot of the issues that families of returning soldiers and the returning soldiers themselves have to go through. So, Dr. David Riggs, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of The Little Book, a collection of stories and articles, parenting tips and resources for all parents and caregivers, especially those who love and care for children and teens with special needs. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and please spell anything that's not obvious. Mention show number 319, and please tell us, if you can, what station you are listening to.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from the Joseph and Anna Smith Foundation. Our sound engineer is Drew Chapp. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.